The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We have a couple of topics on the agenda today. First, we're going to be talking with Larry Ventline. He is a doctor. He's with Ventline Counseling. He was also formerly a priest. And we're going to be talking about a program he's got coming up, Opiate Crisis and Pastors. It's coming up at the Bad Axe Public Library on December the 12th, which is a Tuesday. So thanks for being with us here today.
My pleasure.
I guess the first thing I'd ask, all of this changes from being a priest to working with the opiates all kind of flowed in together?
It does, like life and the ups and downs. My boss, one of the bishops...
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking the big boss upstairs, God.
Well, God had that. I wanted to be a physician, and God had other plans, and I cried all the way to divinity school, seminary, we call it. But yeah, the opiate epidemic is killing people. Suicide and so forth is a big thing, and I've been about doing the addictive piece in ministry since 1988, when I did some graduate work in Baltimore, Maryland.
And the opiate crisis, a lot of people just think of people on the streets in Detroit and New York and such, but it hits families, it hits very close to home for so many people.
Oh, everybody seems to know someone at a Families Against Narcotics here that Judge Prill is, I think, a prime mover among others. They were telling stories about suicides and daughters and sons who are addicted and looking for assistance and some real practical help besides the drug to prevent heart attacks when one takes opiates. Vicodin, for example. I remember taking Vicodin once because I was playing racquetball with someone 20 years younger than me, and I pulled some cartilage or something, and the doctor said, "I know you believe in redemptive suffering." I didn't even know what that meant, but he seemed to know what it meant. But he said, "I want you to take it." So I took a half of the Vicodin that was prescribed after the surgery on the knee, and I was like flying to the ceiling. I thought, wow, no more of this.
Some people know more of this. Other people, it clicks right away in their brains, and they want more and more. So that's where the addictive part comes in.
Yes.
Your program, the Opiate Crisis and Pastors, this is not affiliated with FAN. This is a program you're putting on. And basically, what is going to happen here? When people hear about and pastors, they think it's going to be more of a religious, sermon type of thing. How do you plan on conducting this meeting, which again is coming up on December 12th? It's a Tuesday at the Bad Axe Public Library, 12 noon.
Yeah, I'm really hoping you physicians out there will attend, police personnel, parents, and the public, the general public, to really press for some real concrete ways to deal with this. One gal sent an email wondering what the program was about, just as you asked, Craig, and she thought it was going to be some churchy kind of thing that might not be very practical. But she was asking for some concrete ways to deal with this crisis of opiate addiction. And so we'll try to have the rubber meet the road as much as I can in facilitating that. But the audience will fuel the agenda in a very practical way.
Okay, how long do you expect it to go if people have to take off for lunch and do this? How long do you think it's going to be? I mean, obviously, you want to exhaust the topic. You don't want anyone to go home who didn't get a chance to speak, but are you looking at an hour, 2 hours?
Just the lunchtime. If people come for 15 minutes, that's fine, too. Just to deepen the awareness about the problem and to get some very concrete help and ways to face this with the prosecutor and the assistant and police and physicians who are more and more getting blamed for this opiate addictive crisis.
Well, a lot of that goes to the fact that I see it in court a lot, that a lot of the people that come before the judge tend to have started when they had an injury, like you said, and then they got hooked on it. The prescription runs out, you're cured, you're healed, But the addiction hasn't been healed, and then they look for other options, and then they get into other things like heroin and opiates or cocaine that are they're trying to, because it's still an addiction in their head that they need to fulfill, not for the physical pain, but for the withdrawal pain.
That's right, for sure. It's called the dry drunk syndrome. It's the addictive cycle. You're walking in a fog once you're even detoxing. And people want that original high with heroin, for example. They would say it's cheaper than marijuana. That's why it's such an epidemic, apparently, I'm told. But they're chasing the dragon, so to speak, the tail, because they want that original high. It's like the first drink people have in the local bar, and then they leads to two, then it leads to three, and buy the whole bar a drink. Kind of thing, and they're hooked. So to get out of that system, they need some real support. Like AANA, Narcotics Anonymous, does some great work of accountability. Hey, you weren't here last week. Where were you? You know, and so they're pressed to really be accountable to the program, because it does work. Treatment does work, and it's a soul problem in my mind. It's a question of our deepest inner that we're longing for something. And so people get onto drugs and love of money, power, and sex in very bad ways, in extreme ways, because there's a void inside. And so the concrete therapist, if you will, and the real parents can help their youngsters by preventing that void, by keeping them involved with healthy, non-toxic people and non-toxic drinks, for example.
Well, you made the comment, that first high, and normally, from what I have heard, it's almost impossible to reach that exact level with the exact same drug. Your brain starts to change, and that's why people end up doing more, or end up going on to heavier drugs, because they don't get the same effect that they had the first time, because their system's starting to acclimate to it, their brain is starting to change to where it's just craving more, and you're not reaching that level, and you start doing more risky things. You take bigger amounts that might kill a person on their first time.
Yes, sir.
But your system has acclimated enough to it,
yeah,
that you're able to do it. People make the mistake, and then they overdose, and they've now got that Narcanon or whatever it is now that they,
yes,
can administer. It kind of counteracts it rather quickly, but still,
yeah,
if there's nobody around to help you, you're in deep trouble.
You're in debt. You're in deep, deep ground. You're ready for the creamins. But the saddest part, to me anyway, Craig, is the children. Their brains are still forming. And for them to be on any drugs, that's why children out there, don't get hooked. Don't take drugs, marijuana or whatever, because your brain is forming. And parents, you need to tell your kids this, not to start taking marijuana. And you need to fess up, like that computer needs to be in the living room and not in their bedrooms in an isolated place. That's the beginning of the addict, the attachment disorder. And their brains, saddest part, working at Sacred Heart Rehab in Memphis, Michigan, the residential, was a father coming in to the treatment with his son, and they were both addicted to marijuana and then some. If you're addicted to one, we call it comorbidity, you're usually addicted to a second drug or something. And in the day, it was usually just for a single disease, and it is a disease of the soul, for example, like I talked about, the void, the dis-ease.
And now when people are dealing with this, they're often caught off guard. A lot of times there's either denial or they just don't see it. And the first time they're really confronted with it is when maybe somebody's arrested or somebody. So at that point, you kind of have to go almost into rescue mode rather than prevention, because they're already into the culture. And getting them out is much more difficult.
Oh, for sure. Denial is a big problem. It's a big factor. It's part of the addictive cycle, the denial. That's why alcoholics, for example, people attach to alcohol. My father's from up here in Port Austin on Hunter Road. Grew up here. He had a birth. His birth mother died at 6 months old. When I meet family members and they say, oh, father, you shouldn't be talking about that stuff. And I say, well, we're as sick as our secrets. But his birth mother, apparently, apparently, would actually did some violence on his nose, and he had a broken nose, and his brother's, and that became the family secret. So when I meet some of the his, hers, and theirs of the three-party family, so to speak, they'll say, oh, Grandma loved you. She would not hurt you. And that's an example of denial. And I say, well, I wasn't even around yet. My father was, and it's my father who was abused. And so what happens is that's not a judgment on my father's stepmother and my grandma, but it's the reality that people can be in denial, and we are as sick as our secrets if we're not going to face them. That's why we have to embrace being allergic to penicillin, as I am. And it's much like alcohol. If someone's attached to alcohol, I have to say, yeah, I can't stop it.
And part of the help would be, if you're going to be prescribed something, to not get on that train, is to see if the doctor has something else available that would not be narcotic. It doesn't have to. You can question your doctor. There is no law that says, you know, they stand on a pedestal and ye shall do it. You work with your doctor. You don't just say, oh, take care of it. It's part of your recovery. It's part of your life, and you should be actively involved in it.
Yeah, it's a very pleasing culture, and doctors aren't outside that purview of being...
I think most doctors would like people to be more interested in their health. At least it gives them an idea that, you know, they're serious about
this. They are, and that's why speaking up, and I get in trouble with my bishops because I speak up, but God gave us a brain to ask questions, as you say, to ask my doctor. My doctor, for example, is treating me for asbestosis from a building that we had great plans for in St. Clair Shores, a former dental building. And there was some apparent asbestos, and after technicians came in, two said yes, one said no. That there were, because none of it was broken, the asbestos, so it wasn't airborne. But the reality is that you know, we need to accept these realities and deal with them as much as we can. But physicians, she, for example, the physician said, "How else can I help you?" And I never like to go the route of opiates or Vicodin. I'd rather do holy basil, for example, which is a herb. And my prostate physician says, "Oh, you and your herbs." And I want to say, "Oh, you and your legitimate or illegitimate prescription drugs." So we got to get a balance in on this. I mean, but if one is allergic to any of beer, for example, you can't have it. Food can be an allergy for people. Sex can be an allergy for people if it's not respected well enough. So,
but most doctors care. That's why they're in the business. There are a few that give them a bad name, and there's a few in my business that get a bad name in your business.
I mean,
all that happens, and we're not trying to blanket them all into one area.
Cause no harm. The Hippocratic Oath, Craig. Cause no harm. Good doctors, yeah.
And you know, and I know at times they get confronted by people that it's just, I don't want to feel any pain in this. And there is, to a certain extent, and it's easy to say and hard to go through, because believe me, I've had my own aches and pains in life, but to a certain extent, you can't get rid of it all. It's part of the healing process. It tells your body there's a problem, and it reacts to it. So, you know, the idea that there'd be absolutely no pain kind of defeats the whole body's mechanism. But beyond that, when you ask for something that powerful, well, then eventually they may just give in and say, here. When you could have done something with a lesser, less addictive type of thing that won't put you on that end cycle when you've got to get off of it.
That's right. And when you get off of it, the end cycle, as you say, grief happens because that drug was your best friend, so to speak. So there's a grieving process, and it's like someone who died in your life, the drug, the opiates. So the grieving process takes a long time, like the death of a loved one. The normal root process is about a year.
Yeah, but like the Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a disease for life, because your brain has changed, and you just can't get near it again.
That's right. That's right. That's people. So people need to get the help and the support. I remember someone up in this area was drinking breakfast, lunch, and supper, and I finally.
And not talking milk.
And yeah, not talking milk. Milk with a little bit of some of that strong stuff, but she had never heard of anabuse. So I say, you call your doctor. In fact, she had a shrink, and she called the shrink, and I said, tell him I said to give you this, and he changed his thinking right away and prescribed it for her, and she's now, this person has been clean for a long time, and just remarkable that she's not into any of the groups, though, and I know her, the family says that there's a need for some kind of activity and socializing. I said, well, drop her off at a senior citizens meeting or the church, local church or whatever, to get her engaged, because you can easily go back off the wagon, so to speak, and out of remission.
If I know antabuse, it's much different than that Narconon or whatever that gets rid of the symptoms so you don't die with the opiates. It basically makes you sick if you drink alcohol, and not just queasy. It makes you darn right retching sick.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, it does. Yeah, you'll vomit.
That's the point.
Yeah, regurgitating severely. And this particular person and other patients I've had are very afraid of puking, if you so to speak, to get very concrete and vivid here, regurgitating, because they pick up again. So 5 months is a long time. It's a trophy for some people to be off of some drug, whether it's process addiction or a substance addiction.
Now, if you've got a problem, you know, with either yourself or someone else, and you're looking for answers, you know, people say, oh, there's so much online about it. But you have to be careful about what kind of programs you're looking at. Go to more reputable sources. Because, you know, there are people who have their own little quick fixes that aren't really fixes. So you have to look for, you know, if you had cancer, you'd look to the American Cancer Society first. You would look to drug organizations that are well known, have a good rep, that will help you and not just try to get into your pocketbook.
That's right. Look to people who have recovered. I know a boyhood pastor from Saginaw, Michigan, and he'd be happy if I said his name, the late Father Edward Popielasz, the Polish.
You said it because I couldn't.
Okay. Yeah, his literally, it means a weaver of threads, and he was indeed. He taught a class in acceptance, and his claimed fame was, I was a pastor in Lake Orion at St. Joseph's, and a guest house nearby in Lake Orion was for priests, pastors. Now it's for sisters and others, other faithful who have addiction problems, but his claim to fame was over three stints of 90 days each, because he was living in his head. But he's an example, you know. So watch for people that are good living examples of recovery, and go to them or watch them, watch the recovery and the fruitfulness of that. And that boyhood pastor, he taught a class in acceptance, which he defined as acceptance is an agreement of freedom, a covenant. He said he couldn't admit that he was an alcohol attached person, and finally when he did, he began to heal up and face the demon, the demonic, the, if you will, the missing of the mark, the sin in his life, because it is a moral failure, but it can happen that they go into remission when after they've tried to get the help and practice the 12 steps, for example, of AA. But if they, I don't place judgments on that, but if they go off the wagon, so to speak, a second time, therein lies the moral failure, because you have all the supports around you, but you're not availing yourself to it, and you're the loner, you know, isolating and so forth.
Well, a lot of that goes to the very first principle that most organizations trying to help people with some form of any type of addiction is to genuinely admit you're an addict. If you don't do that, then once you go through a program, you'll say, well, I'm not an addict, I'll just do it once again, and then you're back in the cycle again. Yes. You have to say that, believe it, and make it part of your life for the rest of your life, or it really won't work.
Amen. Yeah, so be it. You have to live it, as you're pointing out, Craig. You have to walk the talk, and it's not easy, and life has its ups and downs. It's like Edgewater Park, where I grew up, Lynch Road, near Telegraph and 7 Mile, the Edgewater roller coaster. Life is full of ups and downs, and our children need to be taught those, and especially boys need to be taught the mysteries, the paradoxes, the conundrums of life, that you don't get everything in life. Hello, parents, you will get sick one day. Hello, young people, that you will die one day. And if you're not taught these mysteries, paradoxes of life, then when you get your first rejection from your first sweetheart, for example, you go into a rage, and then some violence or worse, or addictive behavior, dysfunctional behavior sets in. So learn this, young people, that life has its ups and downs. Even though you get everything, you may get everything you want from mom and dad or grandparents who love you, and they say you can never give enough love. Well, but there needs to be balance and limits and moderation with the giving.
Well, again, you've got a program coming up, and I want to make sure people know about it. It's coming up 12 noon, December the 12th. That is next Tuesday. It's going to be at the Bad Axe Public Library. The title of it is Opiate Crisis and Pastors, but it is for anyone who wants to stop out, who has dealt with the problem, is living with the problem, or has the problem, whether it's a police agency, whether it's the judges, the prosecutors. Anyone who wants to be there can come. And there will be a discussion. It's not a religious event, so to speak. It is a discussion that will help people with maybe one of the first things that really helps is knowing you're not alone in it. Other people have faced it. Other people have dealt with it. It is possible, and you can move forward.
Yeah, treatment does work. So, get in on the merry-go-round, the circus. It's the best show in town. Next Tuesday, December 12th at 12 noon, especially amid this opiate epidemic crisis that we need to address.
Well, thanks for being with us today. Larry Ventline, Dr. Lawrence Ventline, is our first guest. We have a second one coming up. I want to thank you, Larry, for coming out. And again, your program is next Tuesday, December 12th, Bad Axe Public Library, 12 noon. It's on the opiate crisis and pastors, now to encourage hope amid the despair of addiction. Coming up, we'll have our second guest for the day right after these.
Hey folks, Terry Hurd here, your host of Into the Blue, inviting you to join me for a very special edition of our broadcast this week with my special guest, Billy Droz. We'll be sharing stories from the road and tracks from his current CD, To Whom It May Concern. It's all brought to you by the fine folks at Silver Dollar City, where right now they're celebrating an old-fashioned Christmas. All the details online at silverdollarcity.com. And all the great music right here on Into the Blue. Don't miss it.
The Bluegrass Music Show, Into the Blue, every Sunday after the 5 p.m. news and weather on WLW AM 1340.
Hi, I'm Eddie the Elf.
Merry Christmas.
How would you like to win a $1,200 Christmas shopping spree this holiday season? Well, here's your chance. Shop locally and enter your name in WLW Radio's $1,200 shopping spree registration buckets located at participating businesses throughout the Thumb area. When you shop locally, you not only get great prices and exceptional service, you help support our local economy. And many of our local businesses sell products made right here in the USA. So get out and shop Thumb Area businesses, help your local economy grow, and enter for your chance to win a $1,200 Christmas shopping spree. Merry Christmas from your local merchants and WLEW Radio. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 years or older to register. The winning drawing will be held on Friday, December 17th.
Register to win the $1,200 shopping spree at the following business location: The Bank, 1884 Food and Spirits in Port Austin.
And we're back. Our second guest today on the program, on a totally different topic, is Brent Mosher. He is the law enforcement safety instructor at the Huron Area Tech Center, and he's not here to take me away. He is here because they've got a fundraiser coming up for the Toys for Tots, Protectors versus Directors. So, you've been doing this a couple of years already?
Yeah, this is my third year. And it's a way for us to raise funds for our program, with training aspects and different things that are growing that we want to do, and to get out in the community and show a little bit of involvement.
And this is coming up when and where?
It'll be this Saturday at the Baddox High School, 6 p.m. in the high school gym. And there's a whole slew of events that are going to happen at that time.
So it's not just the game. There's a little pre-game, mid-game, post-game hijinks, so to speak, that will be happening.
Yeah, there's some fun things that are going on, kind of for all ages. The basketball game, we call it Protectors Against Directors. The protector side are people in this community, local police officers, firefighters, EMS, military personnel, the people that we consider to be our protectors in our area. And then the director side on the opposite would be your teachers, coaches, school staff, administration, the other directors that are helping in the community as well.
Do you have enough participants, or are you always looking if other people want to come and play? Because I know sometimes, you know, people can get called out on something, especially the protectors part of it.
Yes.
And they may need to, you know, say, I can't make it. It'd be nice to have a few in reserve from other areas. Are you always looking for people?
Always looking, on both sides, teachers, coaches, school employees. Are welcome to get a hold of me in that aspect, and police, fire, and EMS on both sides. Being a police officer in the area and a firefighter, I have a little bit of connection, and so we've been pulling people, and hopefully we have a great turnout on that aspect.
Okay. Now, I assume you're fundraising, so there will be a cost to get in?
And it's all donations at the door. The donations at the door, either cash or... if you bring a toy for Toys for Tots, is going back to the Toys for Tots organization in Huron County, which means that money that's raised and the toys that are provided will stay directly in our community and benefit the kids in this area.
And while it's a little late in the season for this year, the money raised and the toys that are brought in will be used perhaps next year, because by the time you get to Saturday, Toys for Tots is going to be already trying to get the toys out to the kids already, and they have their people who have come together and make sure that everybody's list is filled. So
correct.
But it's always a good thing, and it's always good when you can do something that stays right in the local community. There's no getting around that.
Definitely. With the basketball game as well, we talked about a slew of other options going to be happening. Santa will be on scene. You can have your picture taken with him and get your Christmas list out, let them know what you're looking for this year. And then the cosmetology...
Santa's not going to play? You're not going to give him a, you know, maybe say, how much do you want to bet he can make a basket with from the halfway mark?
And it's his busy season. I'm not sure he had too much time to shoot free throws
this
year.
You don't want to give him a pulled muscle or something this close to Christmas.
Correct. The cosmetology program at the Tech Center as well will be on scene and doing elf face painting. We've had some volunteers step up and say that they're going to paint faces for the little ones.
Make them look like an elf?
Look like elves, yes. And they will have, from what I'm told, a little elf appearance themselves. So.
Okay. Well, and again, I'm sure at all these events, donations will be taken, because the whole point is the fundraising aspect.
I mean,
you're not trying to discourage families. If you had six kids, it could be costly, but if it's a donation, you know, to do things, then you can give what you can.
Yeah, we're not turning anybody away. To show up, come and enjoy the event. That's the main aspect. There will be, with the face painting, there will be a bake sale, Christmas cookie bake sale that's going on. There will be concessions on hand. As well as throughout the game, my students, we have different games that we kind of play. So you may have the opportunity to have somebody arrested in the crowd or a player, and have them put in jail for a time being on scene. And those things will be addressed kind of at the game at that time.
Now, you say it's your third year.
Correct.
So obviously, third year means you've got a little history in the bank. Is it something you find is growing? The community is hearing more and more about. Did your second year bring in a little more than the first and more people? Is that kind of the ball rolling down the hill and becoming a bigger snowball?
I do believe so, and I hope that it continues to get bigger. I really enjoy the event itself, and having the local, I consider them heroes, no matter which side you play for. represented and have just a little bit of fun experience to put back into the community, as well as it helps raise money for our programs with the ever-growing changes in education. We enjoy buying new things and teaching the students different aspects from that area.
And it's always good when the community sees the people who are there, that are there when you need them most.
Yes.
Just our people doing fun, regular things like everybody else.
And they have their kids there and their family time and the opportunity just to lay back and have a little bit of enjoyment. Especially this time of the year, it's a great time to get people together and to raise money for a good cause.
Because they don't always see the whole community in their job.
No.
Police tend to go to people who have problems or things are going on. This gives them a chance to deal with just everyday folks like them who are doing their lives and appreciate what's going on in the community.
Correct.
Well, terrific. Is this something that you heard of somewhere else and brought here, or is this a total new brainchild that lightning struck somewhere on your way to work? And because you work at the Huron Area Tech Center.
Yes. I'm the law enforcement public safety instructor, as you stated.
And you basically run the program for kids who are thinking about becoming
police
law
officers or want to work in the court system, become attorneys, firefighters, military. I have a bunch of students that get into the military right after school.
It's in everybody's daily aspect. I mean, military, you have military police. There's all types of people. Go to school and you think you have to have this one narrow focus of what you want to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of times students branch off of that, but they use what they learned in other ways to help in the new direction they're going. So
yes.
It's kind of amazing.
As far as it being my brainchild, I thought of the name, the Protectors Against Directors sign. But I used to play back in my early stages of being a police officer in what's called like a law dogs basketball game, where they would play different coaches and schools, and it would just be law enforcement only. Well, I thought, as being public safety, that's my background, you know, we have heroes not just in police but in fire and EMS and military, and then on the education side, I consider everybody who works in the school districts or helps coach and teaches these young individuals in our communities to be heroes as well. So that's aside from where I came from.
Terrific. Obviously, since you continue to do it, it is good for Toys for Tots.
Yes. Well, this is my first year in conjunction with Toys for Tots.
So you've used other organizations in the past?
Yeah. We've just done through our tech center, through our school.
Okay.
And we've raised money every year, and it continues to get bigger and bigger, and I hope that it snowballs that direction.
Terrific. And is this one of the main things that you folks do in the year? Is there other fundraisers that... you're involved with through the school, or is this just mainly your brainchild and they're going, that's a good idea, you run with it?
This is kind of my brainchild for this area. I know there's multiple other fundraisers that go on throughout the tech center. There's so many great things and programs that happen out there, that resources and tools that these kids get chances to be a part of, that it's awesome. I don't do a lot of fundraising throughout the year. This is kind of our big event. Mm-hmm. And I make my students participate as much as possible. I know they have family events and other things going on, but I kind of make them responsible for putting this on, getting silent auction donations, talking to businesses, letting them know what's going to be happening, and inviting their friends and family out.
And you mentioned even your students get some hands-on throughout
Yes.
the year. We were talking a little bit before the show. I know that they were out there that day they had the mock accident in the
Correct.
Bad Axe High School parking lot. They were helping to like control the crowd and stuff like that. It gives them it isn't just book work, you know, and rote and here we did. It gives them a hands-on feel if this really works for them, if this is something they will find fulfilling in life.
Correct. With that, we work with the Huron County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Kelly Hansen has set forth an Explorers program that we're in conjunction with. With that process, it allows the students to do ride-alongs and to do get into the jail system and see that.
Because again, there's a lot of different aspects.
Oh yeah, just police officers on the street. We need them everywhere, in dispatch, in control centers, in personnel.
And even if you're going into the technical part, like CSI or something like that, you still need to know how things are done at the scene.
Yes.
To know what you're getting,
to
because
protect.
And know what they go through at the scene, so you're not, you know, why didn't you get this? Because you've been there and you've seen a little bit about how crazy these things can be when it's all happening at once.
Definitely. And getting them in the community and being seen in a uniform as part of a group is important. When they get to do the traffic details and parades and block streets and help out in any way in the community and be seen as not just a student but somebody as more of a professional, I think it helps them and it helps us as well.
And when they complete the program, do they get like a certificate, or is it good for credits if they go on to, say, another college or something where, you know, they want to take up criminal justice? Does it really just look good on a resume? Are there things they pass along that have some tangible stuff to them as well?
All the above. We have what's called articulation credit that allows the students at certain colleges and universities to have college credit leaving high school. I offer a two-year program. One year certain things are taught, and the second year different things are taught, and we overlap in certain areas. And if they're there and a part of not just the first year but a second year, they have the opportunity to gain college credit depending on what they're going into. So if you think of police alone, you think about intro to criminal justice or police operations, corrections. Those are college classes that happen that these students get to take in high school through my program and then go to college, and I have to pay for them, and they get to sign off on those.
Well, that sounds like a good thing, but it's important, though, that if you think you have the inkling,
yeah,
you'd want to do it in your start in your junior year.
Yes,
because you need
years.
The two-year program.
You don't need 2 years. I do have some
but
students.
But it would be better.
Yes, you get a better opportunity to get more credits. We CPR and first aid train them every year. And then we actually have quite a good fire program going on with the county. I teach fire in my program, and we compete at that. And then our nighttime here on county, Fire Association puts on from December to April a Fire One Academy. And being a part of my class in public safety allows you the opportunity to get into that program and graduate with a fire license at the end of your year that year.
And that helps, even if you aren't going to do this as a full-time profession, if you live around here, we have volunteer fire
Correct.
Departments. Then they are always looking for qualified people to come in. So it would allow you to become part of that as well if you stayed in the community. And there isn't many full-time positions for firefighters or EMTs around here, but it would allow you to contribute that to your community while you do other things and use what you've learned through your life anyway.
Definitely.
Well, that's a terrific program, and it's one of many out there at the Tech
Yes.
Center. A lot of them are better off two-year programs.
Yes.
So parents and their students should really be talking to their counselors right away when they get into high school, so if there's availability the next year to join in and they've got the background, classes to get in there,
Yes.
then they can go to the Tech Center. A lot of kids do. You also have Mid-Michigan College there where they can take college
Correct.
Credit courses.
Dual enrollment.
You can get some of it paid here. You'll get the credits and save a little bit on that big bill at the end of your college
Yes.
that says you have to pay back.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to get any smaller as we
no,
go
doesn't.
Further and further.
It just seems like another albatross around your neck.
But, yes.
yeah. But your event is coming up
Saturday, December 9th. 6 p.m.
Bad Axe High School Gymnasium. That's
Yes.
the school in the back, not the
Correct.
One out front by 53. It's
no,
the one in the back.
The bigger gym.
The one off of Berry Road.
Yes.
And stop in. Your doors probably open about 5:30-ish
about
or so.
5:30, yes.
And then you would maybe get your kids' face painted up before the game starts and all the other activities so you don't miss a thing.
Correct.
Well, I wish you a good turnout. I hope a lot of people will show up and you do a lot of good work for Toys for Tots.
Yes.
I know the gals down at the Sheriff's Department and the juvenile office that are working so hard right now to pull it off again this year. And
yeah,
they
Kelly
always...
Levine is running mad right now. She's doing great.
And they're always, working for the kids and all the help they can get.
Definitely.
And we appreciate you coming out today and letting us know.
I appreciate you letting me be on the air.
Our guest today on the program, Brent Mosher. He is with the Law Enforcement Safety Instructing Class at the Huron Area Tech Center. I hope I got that close.
Yes.
Got tongue-tied there at the end. And we're talking about the protectors versus directors. It's police safety, police, fire, EMS, police, against the teachers, coaches, and staff. And it's coming up again, as we said, this coming Saturday, December 9th, 6 p.m., at the Bad Axe High School Gymnasium. Proceeds go to Toys for Tots. It's not just the game, it's a family event with all kinds of things going on before, afternoon, after it, in between, and during, most likely.
Correct.
So do come on out.
Thank
you. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll clue you in on all the latest in the news.